Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Nitai Gaura. We are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita on this Saturday. We are in Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, and today's verse is text 89. It's actually a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, so that will be the meter.
Mai bhakti hi bhutanam
amrita vaya kalpate. Can somebody say that? What's the meter? Is it the right?
Mai bhakti hi bhutanam
amrita vaya kalpate.
Vishyaya dasin matsneho
bhavati namad apana
mai bhakti
nibhutanam
amrita tvaya kalpate.
Vishyaya dasin matsneho
bhavati nam madapana.
Please chant.
Mai bhakti bhutanam amrita vaya kalpate. Vishyaya dasin matsneho bhavati nam madapana.
And purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Lord Krishna told the gopis, the means of attaining my favor is loving service unto me, and fortunately you are all thus engaged. Those living beings who render service unto me are eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world and attain eternal life with knowledge and bliss. Right, please repeat. Lord Krishna told the gopis, the means of attaining my favor
is loving service unto me.
And fortunately,
you're all thus engaged.
Those living beings
who render service unto me
are eligible to be transferred
to the spiritual world
and attain eternal life
with knowledge and bliss.
Purport. The fulfillment of human life is summarized in this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.82.45. There are two important words in this verse: bhakti, devotional service, and amritatva, eternal life. The aim of human life is to attain the natural position of eternal life. This eternal life can be achieved only by devotional service.
Om Ajnana Tilandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Umnitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vinamaha.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. What a wonderful verse. And as we were reading together this verse, the translation, I was just thinking, you're all eligible because you're all engaged in loving service to Sri Krishna. Just by the fact that you are here, and makes you eligible. Krishna is saying this, and Krishna is actually repeating it many, many times in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this case, right now we are in the section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ramananda Rai is elaborating on Madhurya Ras, and so in the previous verse 88, he is telling us, or he's talking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's saying, Lord Krishna is indeed captivated by this standard of love. And then he says, this is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. So as you know, Ramana Rai is going back and forth, he quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam many, many verses as he's talking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this verse is actually, Lord Krishna is talking to the gopis after he has not seen them for a very long time. He has been in Dwarka, he was in Mathura, then he has been in Dwarka, and now they are in Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse. And he first, so the beautiful description of how when Krishna comes with all the Yadus, they are coming to Kurukshetra for this solar eclipse to take bath. And as they come, it's described in great detail how all the kings who were present there, it seems kings from all over the world came to take bath in Kurukshetra for this solar eclipse. And how they're all seeing Krishna, and all they're getting so ecstatic on seeing his lotus face, his feet, and then they find out that Nanda Maharaj finds out that the Yadus are here, so they all come, the devotees from all the Vrajvasis come to see Krishna. And Krishna and Balaram are sitting on the lap of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And then Balaram is there, and Balaram sees that the gopis are watching from far. And so he kind of takes everyone else away, and then Krishna is by himself. And then Krishna meets the gopis. And it's explained in a secluded place. And Krishna is now, he's kind of apologizing to the gopis. So I kind of went back, and I would like to just kind of summarize what Krishna is saying. And Krishna is kind of saying, do you still remember me? And he's kind of actually smiling. It's explained that he's smiling. He laughed, and he's asking them, do you still remember me? And he's saying, it's because of my relatives. You know, it seems like Krishna is kind of, you know, when we don't see someone for a long time and we are apologizing, or we don't write to someone for a long time and we apologize. I'm so sorry, I was so busy. So Krishna is kind of saying, well, my relatives' sake, you know, I had to kill so many, I had to take care of all the business with my parents, and I was destroying my enemies, and maybe you think I'm ungrateful and you hold me in contempt. And then he starts speaking. adhyatma gyan, you know. He starts speaking knowledge of the self to the gopis. And I'm reading from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur commentaries. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is speaking in the purport to this verse, text 44, which is quoted today. He's saying that the gopis are thinking that if you are the Supreme Lord, you know, you're just blaming no one else but yourself, because Krishna says the Supreme Lord brings everyone together and he scatters them again. And so the gopis are thinking like that. And so he's saying, just by devotion to me, one can achieve liberation, amritavya. But that you have attained affection for me is my good fortune, since it causes you to attain me. And the hidden meaning is that Krishna is saying that your affection actually drags me to you by force. It brings me close to you, and it assures that very soon I'll come to remain permanently with you. So when we hear this, we see how Krishna is being so merciful to us. As our affection for Krishna increases, he engages more and more in his service. And the limit to our engagement in that service is only limited by our abilities or our desires. Because Krishna is engaging so many devotees every morning. We see here so many devotees are engaged directly in serving the deity form of Krishna. And as I had darshan this morning, it's like so beautiful. So beautiful. Mother Mantini went to so much great detail she has done to find the exact colors of the flowers which match all the colors in the outfit. And Raghu Prabhu, he works all week and he goes on Fridays, he goes to wards and gets these flowers, and maybe from some other places too, and he grows flowers so he can dress the deities every Saturday. He's working all week, I mean it's 8-10 hours a day, and then he has this desire to serve. And so we're only limited by our desires. So if our desires increase more and more, we can get more and more service. And we are eligible to go back to Godhead, to go back to the spiritual world and attain eternal life, which is Satchidananda, blissful, full of knowledge. And all this knowledge which Krishna is actually explaining to the gopis is actually, it's explained in other places in the Bhagavatam, that actually Srila Prabhupada mentions also that one actually is on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, which means we know that we are not, that once you actually understand that I'm not this body, that you do not have any material attachments, that's actually the stage when our bhakti or devotional service actually begins. So one is actually coming to that platform before they can even start engaging in devotional service. And each one of us can attest to it, because you see, what was my qualification that I was able to come and immediately start chanting the holy name and start reading Bhagavad Gita? Where did this come from? Because it is definitely from our previous samskaras that Krishna actually brought, we came to this point that we saw the deities and we got so attracted, or we met a devotee and got a book, and it seems like coincidence, you know, that the book just came into my hand. But it is because we have come to that, one has come to that platform that we do not have much attachment for the material life. And as I have, you know, in my 20 odd years of being around devotees, somehow by Krishna's mercy, by my spiritual master's mercy, and I see that devotees who, they talk about their previous life, pre-Krishna conscious, and many of them are like, I really didn't have much interest in, you know, decorating myself or preparing myself very much to be more attractive to other people. I didn't have much interest in going to parties. Even people who have lived in the West, and you know, there's a lot of partying and this and that going on. And people, devotees, they didn't really like that. Or they were always like the oddball. Many of us were oddballs in the society, as children or as young adults. Because of that, because our stage had already come, we were already kind of detached from the material world. Or the hippies, like Srila Prabhupada found them, they were already very much detached from the material world, from their very opulent lifestyles of their parents or from the facilities which were available to them in this country, very detached from it. So it's actually all explained in the Bhagavatam, that actually those who come to Krishna consciousness are actually starting off from that platform. So I will just read what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in this Sara Artha Darshini, he is kind of summarizing what Krishna is talking to the gopis about the Adhyatma Gyan or knowledge of the self. And he says, so this was from verse 42, when Krishna starts saying that the Supreme Lord after all brings everybody together and separates them, up till verse 46. He's talking about the material elements, he's talking about the beginning and end of the created worlds. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is quoting from Vaishnava Toshani, and he says, these instructions on spiritual knowledge enlighten the gopis. The scorching sun of the gopis' incessant meditation on Krishna, arising from their feelings of separation from him, destroyed the inner essence of their night-blooming lotus-like lives. It's kind of more esoteric because there's a word called kumudasya, and kumud means lotus. So just as a flower is destroyed by excessive sunlight, so this knowledge was destroying their night-blooming lotus-like lives. The only thing that kept the gopis alive was their hope of attaining Krishna. And they realized that, the gopis realized that he who taught us about dharma at the beginning of the rasa dance, so if you remember, Krishna was telling them about, hey, you are young girls, you should go back. So the gopis are now thinking, he taught us about dharma at the beginning of the rasa dance, even though we had not inquired about it, and who instructed us in the principles of theoretical knowledge through Uddhava, so when Uddhava came to Vrindavan, is now again teaching us philosophical knowledge. We should know that this is Krishna's nature, and it is hard for him to give it up. So Krishna again and again, because he puts it in, hey, you know, you're not these bodies, you're spirit souls, part and parcel of me. And in today's verse, what he says? And once you render service unto me, you are eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. So it's very cut, very simple, simple process. And so the gopis are saying, okay, well, this is his nature. And that leads me to what the verse, which is a very famous verse, which Srila Prabhupada has quoted a lot in Bhagavad Gita. It's the verse in chapter 18. So it is Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati, which has also got a very similar purport, which maybe one of you who is more, who knows the verses can quote. Anybody knows that verse? Full word, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati. I only know the first sentence. No? Okay, so I'll just read it. Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvataha Tato Mam Tatvato Gyatva Vishate Tadanantaram. So Krishna is summarizing all of his instructions to Arjuna. And this verse 55, he says, one can understand me as I am, as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So almost mirroring what Krishna is telling the gopis. So Krishna is telling that to Arjuna as well. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, if anyone wants to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has to take to pure devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee, the spiritual master. And and then since it's mentioned that he will come to me, and just to mitigate the thoughts of the impersonalists, when if they think that you come to him, that means you merge into him, Prabhupada is clarifying it that when one enters the spiritual kingdom, there's no loss of their identity. And becoming Brahman doesn't mean that one loses their identity. And then the process of the three things are always existing: Bhakti, Bhaktya, and Bhagavan. Those three as long as devotional service exists, God, Krishna, devotee, and the process of devotional service, bhakti, will always be there. And even after one is liberated, which means getting free from the material concept of life, this distinction is always there. The individuality is always there. Srila Prabhupada, as we know, he has really hammered on this point, because most of the world is into impersonalism because they feel more safe in that position, that I'll get away from this life of misery, and if I become one, then those miseries will go away. So Prabhupada says, do not mistakenly think that enters into me supports the monist theory that one becomes homogenous with the impersonal Brahman. Actually, I'm teaching science to the middle schoolers, and we were doing mixtures, and we're talking about heterogeneous and homogeneous mixtures. So as I'm reading this word, homogeneous means that they become part, the solution of the solute and the solvent is so mixed up that you can't really tell the difference. Even with the most advanced electron microscope, you cannot see the difference. So Srila Prabhupada is saying, they don't become homogeneous. So the opposite of that would be heterogeneous. That means you can still see, like sand in water. You mix sand and water, you can still see the sand, and you can still distinguish that there is water. So we are not homogeneous with the impersonal Brahman. And he says, no. That's the whole sentence. No. Period. Vishata means that one can enter into the abode of the Supreme Lord in one's individuality to engage in his association and render service unto him. And then Srila Prabhupada gives a very famous example of the green bird entering the green tree, and he's there just to enjoy the fruits or to eat the fruits. And then he says that the impersonalists give the example of the river flowing into the ocean, but it is faulty because there are so many aquatics, so many fishes and other living beings who live in the ocean or who live in the water, and they maintain their individuality. The river might be merging into the ocean, but the fishes who are living there still have their identity. So because we maintain that identity, we are able to understand the qualities of the Lord and the opulences of the Lord. And again, in this end of this purport, actually it's a long paragraph, Srila Prabhupada actually says, and I'll read this just to reinstate or to reiterate what I was just mentioning earlier. After attainment of the Brahma-Bhuta stage of freedom from material conceptions, devotional service begins by one's hearing about the Lord. So once we start hearing, and most of us started hearing first, either we heard the Maha Mantra being chanted on the street corner, or like me, I went to the temple and the Bhagavad Gita class was going on. And I was totally attracted to it because I'd never heard anybody speaking on the Bhagavad Gita, except songs in Hindi music in India, where I heard some verses, yada yada hi dharmasya, you know. So by hearing, that begins our journey, and our devotional service begins. So I was doing a little research on trying to find out, maybe I can get some more nectar, and just want to tell you about two different pastimes which I had time to actually go through. One is the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj leaving his home, and here is Suniti, his mother, when she first tells him. So he's coming running to his mother and saying how his father is not taking him on his lap, and she tells him, "You take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." This is Canto 4, Chapter 8, Verse 22. "My dear boy, take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotees. Persons seeking liberation from the cycle of birth and death always take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service." We did not even know that we were seeking liberation. I didn't know I was seeking liberation from the cycle of birth and death. Somehow Krishna is so kind, he allowed me to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in the association of devotees. So becoming purified by executing your allocated occupation, just situate the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart, and without deviating for a moment, engage always in his service. So this is all the instruction which Dhruva Maharaj got from his mother, and he just took it to heart and he just started engaging. And we know how he was engaged in austerities, not even drinking water, and the Lord appeared before him by taking, so that one-minded focus on always engaging in the service of the Lord without deviating for a moment. When we take that instruction of our spiritual master to heart, so it doesn't matter where we are at, whichever position, whichever situation we are brought into, if we are in that undeviated mode, then we are always engaged in that service. We are always engaged in Krishna's service. We can be engaging mentally, even if we are in a situation where externally it seems like we have many other things to do, but in our internal mood is always of serving the Lord. So whatever I'm doing is serving the Lord. Then, if we are assured, we will continue to be eligible to be transferred, because so many situations will come in our life which might seem that they're not very conducive to practicing Krishna consciousness. And I heard long time ago, I was told repeatedly that there is no external impediment. You can say that this one is not letting me practice, or that thing is not letting me practice, or my children are there and they're not allowing me to be fully serving the Lord as the way I would like to. But our state of mind is actually one which will continue. It will be our state of mind, it will be our consciousness, and Srila Prabhupada called it Krishna consciousness. It will be our consciousness which will actually transfer us to the spiritual world. So this other pastime which I would like to refer to is the Prachetas. The Prachetas were, they did austerities for 10,000 years after they were told that they should chant the Lord Shiva's song. And then after 10,000 years, actually, the Lord appeared before them. And here he's speaking. So see again, he's again speaking. He came on Garuda, so I'm assuming it was a Vishnu form. I'm not sure. Was it Vishnu who appeared before the Prachetas? Because it says he appeared on Garuda, so that's what my understanding is. So he's saying, always engaging in the activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in all their activities. The all-knower, the super soul within the heart of the devotee, makes everything increasingly fresh. This is known as the Brahman position by the advocates of the Absolute Truth. In such a liberated stage, one is never bewildered, nor does one lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to the Brahma Buddha situation. So they have been practicing austerities for 10,000 years, so the Lord is a kind of encouraging them. It's ever fresh. And Srila Prabhupada says, the devotee doesn't feel hackneyed or stereotyped, nor does he feel that he's in a stagnant position. In the material world, if one engages in chanting a material name, like Prabhupada would say Coca-Cola, he will feel tired after chanting only a few times. However, one can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all day and night and never feel tired. So Prabhupada is also telling us, it's never a stereotypical situation when we are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. And in the verse right before this, actually, verse 19, when Lord Vishnu is talking to the Prachetas, he's saying, when one acts in such a way, that is in devotional service, he offers all the results to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and passes his life always engaged in the topics of the Lord. Even though such a person may be participating in family life, he is not affected by the results of his actions. Because the Lord is telling the Prachetas, he's telling them very specifically who they should marry. So this girl is also very much dedicated to me, and she's also very respectful to her parents, just like you are very much respectful of your father, and you are coming here to engage in these austerities. So he's reassuring them, even though such a person may be participating in family life, he's not affected by the results of such actions. So I'll read the verse again. Lord Krishna told the gopis, the means of attaining my favor is loving service unto me, and fortunately you are all disengaged. Those living beings who render service unto me are eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world and attain eternal life with knowledge and bliss. Thank you very much for your attention. If you'd like to add your comments or suggestions or corrections.
Hare Krishna. Okay. Thank you for a good, great class, excellent class. And I missed the very beginning of it, but I really appreciated everything you were saying, and I especially was remembering that what you were describing, how the devotee, before they became Krishna conscious, how... Anyway, when I actually believe that when I was 11, I was very materially exhausted. I just remember that. In fact, that was one of the first things, concepts of Srila Prabhupada that came to me when I met the devotees, material exhaustion. And I actually remember at 11 deciding that I don't want to get any older. I'd like to freeze my life right here. I had a best friend, someone I thought was a good best friend. And I wanted to freeze my life there. And so I could so easily relate to everything that Prabhupada has been describing about the hazards of the material world and the fears and the miseries, the twofold miseries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I just wanted to share that. I think you were dead on with your analysis of that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now you're showing mercy to so many other people by your constant preaching. Actually, Srila Prabhupada says, I'll just mention this, a preacher devotee is meant to show mercy to innocent persons who he can elevate to devotional service. And then he says, everyone by constitutional position is an eternal servant of God. So a devotee's business is to awaken that love of God. And I know that you're always finding opportunities to preach. So you're really serving Srila Prabhupada like that by always engaging in that. There you go. Anyone else? Yes, Madan Mohan.
So the verse that you quoted from the Prajetas, that Krishna says the Brahma Bhuta is ever fresh, increasingly ever fresh.
Yes, the Prajetas.
So how does that work, that it's ever increasingly ever fresh?
You think, how does it work?
Things like, I think this world they say it's stale. With stale as compared to fresh, so there is saying it's nothing stale or hackneyed anymore. It's ever increasingly ever fresh.
Right.
So I thought maybe you could say a couple words on that.
How the activities in devotional service are ever fresh. I don't know if we have to. I can speak, but okay. But from my experience. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for 24 years now. Every day when I start chanting, and as time has gone by, when I'm chanting, it's like, I really want to serve you, my dear Lord. And from when we first started, at least when I first started chanting, to today, I always have, every day when I chant, my desire is how I can chant with more and more attention. And as time has gone by, I've been able to, by the association of devotees and by reading or by attending different classes like the Japa retreats, and especially the Japa retreats in Varshana, going to Govardhan and chanting over there and staying there in the holy dham, and realizing that the holy dham is actually right here. I can actually experience the holy dham every day. So there has been every day some realization, and that way it keeps that it's freshness. There is freshness in that realization, because it doesn't become like, oh, I have to. When we say I have to do my japa, that's when we become, we try to stereotype it. You don't have to. It is something, an opportunity for serving, an opportunity for serving the Lord. This is my opportunity again today that I can serve the Lord. So I find myself, this is just my my approach, when I come into the temple, whichever day I can come to the temple and I can offer my blessings to the deities and I can see the beautiful forms, I take a moment and thank them. And if I have the time, sometimes I'm rushing since I'm going to the school early, I leave in like 5 minutes, but if I have the time, I always thank each deity as I see them and I thank them. I say, thank you so much for allowing me to have these beautiful darshan. And I say, at the end I talk to Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada and I thank them for their austerities, for their sacrifice that they gave this beautiful place, this beautiful sanctuary which I can come to. Even though whatever is going on in my life, I can come here and I can actually serve and actually connect and refresh. And it's so refreshing because the temple is always clean, the deities are always served so beautifully, their clothes and their garments and their decorations always new and fresh. So that's actually refreshing too. So that's why I do not want to go anywhere where I will not have this beautiful interaction with the deities and the devotees. So that's my realization. Madan Mahapur, thank you very much for bringing this up. Maybe Mother Madhumati, would you like to share, because you are also serving in such a beautiful way by... Question is the mic.
I was thinking about how things stay fresh is by reciprocation. I was thinking that how, you know, you're serving a Vaishnava, then immediately the Vaishnavas, they want to serve you, and then you serve them back, and so that's how it always stays fresh, that reciprocation is either with the holy name or with the devotees or the deities. You get that freshness. Okay. Thank you.
When you talked about ever fresh, I was thinking about the feature of the spiritual world that's ever fresh, which comes from Anurag, where at every moment everything is increasing in its beauty, something, and its attractiveness, something we don't have experience of here, because here the modes are always acting, and the minute something comes into being, it's immediately the mode of ignorance is exerting its influence, and it's deteriorating. But in the spiritual world, it's the opposite happening. That you look at a flower even and feel delight in it, and next moment the beauty of the flowers increase, and 5 seconds later it's increased and increased. And that's how Lakshmi is able to be massaged in Vishnu's feet, you know, ongoingly, because every time she looks at it, the feet are becoming more and more attractive, and everything's like that in the spiritual world.
Yeah. So we're making a microcosm of the spiritual world here. We are experiencing it. Thank you, Madam. Yamaraj Prabhu.
Thank you, Mother, for a very nice class. I just wanted to comment about reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ajivita 1660. It says, we especially want to take shelter of the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami. We are Rupanukas, or followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. By his mercy, we are getting wonderful opportunity to engage in devotional service and return back to the spiritual world. So these, it's not so much what we do, it's getting the mercy, and like you were describing earlier, serving the devotees. Because in one of the purports Reflections of Sacred Teachings by Bhaktisiddhanta, one of the purports given by Bhaktisiddhanta Swami, he was saying that we could not by ourselves do anything. So we beg the mercy of the devotees, Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, and maybe we might get to meet.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, without the mercy of Guru, we are nothing, and that's why when we chant the Guru Puja every day, we say that. But because we are made of the mercy of the Guru, Madan Mohan Prabhu.
I was also thinking about satisfaction and ever fresh, and in a mirage, there's an element missing. I mean, it looks like water, and it gets you excited like water, but there's an element missing in the mirage that water has. And that's the water itself, the satisfaction that one gets from drinking the water, Krishna's the taste of the water. And then, of course, there's an ocean of mercy that's putting out the fire of material existence. So the living entity, he's always grabbing for the mirage, and there's no satisfaction. So, I mean, I was pointing out how you have a reciprocation. There's someone else out there. And you're not alone anymore. In this material world, we all have solitary confinements in the bodily conception of life. These senses are the prison walls, and we can't contact anyone. So you're contacting Krishna, and that's, I mean, when you talk about stale or something being fresh, it's the life that's going out of it. And so it only ever even looks like there's life in it, but that's just the mirage. It looks like life is there. So you're actually contacting life, and your life is being reciprocated with. So that's the most, not the mirage.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Madam. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Gandhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.